Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Beyond the Frame podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, and today we are talking about something deeply personal and often overlooked, and that is the way parents talk about their own bodies and food and how that impacts the way their children grow up seeing themselves. Now, think back to your childhood. I mean, how did the adults in your life talk about their bodies? Were they constantly on diets, calling themselves bad for eating a slice of cake, or sighing in the mirror about needing to lose weight? Maybe they labeled food as good and bad, celebrating a salad while shaming a bowl of pasta. Or maybe they reprimanded themselves when they took a day off of movement and said that they felt quote-unquote lazy. Now these messages, they don't just disappear. They plant seeds that grow into how we see ourselves and our relationship with food for years. Sometimes even a decade. So today, we are going to dive into the harmful effects of these messages, give real-life examples of how they manifest, and then talk about ways to shift the conversation to something more positive and neutral. So let's get into it. So, as we all know, children are sponges. They absorb everything they hear, especially from their parents and caregivers. And research has shown that children as young as 3 years old can internalize weight bias and food-related anxiety based on what they hear at home. There was a study published in the Journal of Adolescent Health, and it found that parental discussions about dieting and weight control were associated with higher rates of disordered eating behaviors in adolescents. Because when a parent repeatedly talks about needing to quote-unquote earn their food through exercise or expresses guilt over eating dessert, a child begins to internalize the idea that food is something to be controlled and punished for rather than something to nourish and enjoy. So let's consider a few scenarios. You know, maybe the first one could be a mom on a diet. So let's say a mother is constantly talking about how she can't have bread or how she's being bad by eating a cookie. The child, without realizing it, is going to begin to associate eating these foods with guilt. And there's studies from the American Academy of Pediatrics that suggest that children who are exposed to dieting language are more likely to develop unhealthy eating patterns, which could include binge eating or restrictive behaviors later in life. So here's a second example. You know, the dad who critiques his body. So maybe there's a father who's always pinching his stomach in the mirror, you know, saying how he needs to lose weight or criticizing himself for not going to the gym enough and not, you know, holding a bunch of muscle. You know, his child watches and learns that certain body types are undesirable. And then that child will start to scrutinize their own body in the same way. And according to research from the National Eating Disorder Association, children of parents who frequently engage in negative self-talk about their bodies are at higher risk for body dissatisfaction and low self-esteem. Because think about it. Parents hold the utmost respect at that time. A child looks up to their parents so much. And so when the parent constantly puts down their body or the food that they're eating or the movement that they're doing, the child's going to say, okay, well, that rule then applies to me too, because if my parents think that it's okay and my parents, you know, aren't okay with themselves, then I shouldn't be either. So the third scenario is the family who labels foods. You know, there's a lot of parents that say things like, we don't eat junk food in this house, or you can only have dessert if you finish your vegetables, or you had ice cream last night, you can't have it tonight. Now, this sets up a hierarchy of food where some are seen as inherently bad and others as virtuous. Now, there's research from the Journal of Nutrition Education and Behavior, and it indicates that strict food rules can lead to increased cravings and overcompensation of restricted food when children gain more independence. Because think of it, when you're not allowed to eat certain things, all you want is to eat that, right? You want to know what it tastes like. You want to be able to enjoy it. But then there's that fear that if I go back home, I'm not going to be able to have it. so I better have as much as I can now, instead of listening to your body intuitively when you might feel full, because you're scared that you may never get that opportunity again. And this has long-term effects on children, because these patterns don't just stay in childhood. Many adults struggle with their relationship with food and body image because of what they absorbed from a young age. You know, some developed disordered eating habits, others became chronic dieters, and many battle with negative self-talk that they pass down to their own children. For example, there are multiple studies that show that children who grew up in households where weight and food are a focus are more likely to develop issues like binge eating, excessive restriction, or body dissatisfaction. And there's a report from the American Psychology Association that highlights that early exposure to body-related criticism can contribute to anxiety, depression, and long-term self-esteem issues. And as I've talked about in previous podcasts, health has nothing to do with a size, with a number, but it has to do with the overall well-being, which is the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual side. And if you're being told, you know, physically that you're not enough, and you're hearing your parents put themselves down physically, and that's also affecting them mentally and emotionally, that's going to impact you too in all those areas. And then that's 3 out of the 4 categories that are really suffering in your overall health. I think one of the biggest things to point out and to remind parents is that children are intuitive eaters. Children are born intuitive eaters. Babies cry when they're hungry and they stop eating when they're full. And young children do the same. They naturally listen to their bodies and they eat what they want. They let you know if they're hungry, whether it's at the time that you think they should be hungry or not. Children are born listening to their bodies. But when the parents impose these rigid rules around food, children start to override their natural cues, often leading to overeating, undereating, or guilt around food choices. So if a kid comes running in and it's, you know, an hour, even 30 minutes before dinner, and they're like, I'm hungry, can I have a snack? Instead of saying, no, you need to wait till dinner, what if you just allowed your kid to have a snack? I mean, yes, that might affect their dinner, but you can save their dinner for the next day, for lunch or for leftovers, and you can allow that kid to honor what their body wants, because that's going to continue to reinforce the idea to the kids that by listening to your body, you're doing the right thing. So instead of forcing kids to either clean their plate or restricting certain foods, really encourage them to tune into their hunger and fullness signals. Now, the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics suggests that allowing children to regulate their own food intake fosters a healthier relationship with food in adulthood. So instead of saying, you need to eat more, try asking, are you still hungry or does your tummy feel full? Or instead of a parent saying the opposite of, you need to eat less, ask your child, how hungry are you? Do you want seconds? Do you want some time to think? Or are you done? Because it's okay if the child's full and then 30 minutes later, they're like, I'm hungry again. Because the body knows what it wants. And as parents, it's so easy to feel the need to control your child and to teach your child the quote unquote right thing. However, I really encourage all parents that are listening to this, open your mind and your heart to realizing that you don't know everything. It is okay to trust your child's intuition and to trust your child to intuitively eat and to know when they're full and to know when they're tired and when they need to go to sleep and when they're done with movement. It's your child's body. It's not yours. And I guarantee a part of you doesn't listen to your body as intuitively as your kid is doing. And so it's easier to force your kid to follow your rules and your rigid structure than to have you start to change your rigid structure to allow your kid to exist. So by trusting your children to listen to their own bodies, you know, parents can really help them develop confidence in their ability to make food choices that serve them well in the long run. So what can we do about it? You know, the good news is we can change the way that we talk about bodies and food starting today. And here are a few ways to make the shift. The first being neutralize food language. So instead of calling foods good or bad, describe them for what they are. Because food does not hold a moral value. You are not good for eating vegetables, just the same as you are not bad for eating French fries. So rather than saying, I was bad today, I ate pizza, you know, try, I had pizza today, and it was really delicious. That's it. Nothing else. The second thing that you can do is to model body acceptance. So instead of criticizing your own body, try expressing appreciation for it. So you could say something like, I love how strong my legs are for carrying me through the day. That's a much more positive than, ugh, my thighs are huge. And this all ties back to body neutrality over body positivity, where we take away how our body looks, and instead we pay attention and praise our body for how it functions. And if you haven't listened to the episode on body positivity versus body neutrality, I urge you to add that to your downloads and listen to that later. All right, the third thing is let kids listen to their bodies. So avoid making food about reward or punishment. So instead of saying, you know, eat your vegetables so you can have dessert, you know, you could say vegetables give us energy and dessert is something we enjoy. So this helps kids see that all food is part of a balanced life. And ultimately, food of any kind gives you energy. Dessert gives you energy. Vegetables give you energy. And it's okay to allow your kid to have dessert when you think that, oh, it's the middle of the afternoon. Why do they want it? Well, they want some form of energy. They're craving something sweet. The more that you allow your child to listen to their cues and do that, then the more they're going to recognize, hey, that's an okay thing to do. And trust me, your kid is not going to go out of control on sugar. And I know so many parents are concerned that, well, if I let my kid eat whatever they want, they'll be eating candy all day. First off, what if that does happen? The body knows how to regulate itself. Even if the kid eats candies for 2 weeks straight for every meal, the kid over time, its body is going to start craving things with denser nutrients. And it's going to say, hey, I want, you know, some protein and I want some vegetables and I want some fats and I want some other things in my body. And the kid's going to go back to that naturally. So instead of freaking out about whatever phase your child might be in, what they love right now, and afraid that they might be picky eaters, allow your child the opportunity to learn for themselves and to listen to their body and for their body to communicate with them what they need. The fourth thing is avoid talking about diets. Now, even if you're on a personal health journey, which I'm not here to cast any judgment, it is important that you frame it in a way that is not about deprivation. So instead of saying, I can't eat that, you know, try saying, I'm choosing foods that make me feel good and I want to eat this. Or just don't comment about the food in front of your kids. And if they ask, Mom, why aren't you eating that with us? Say, I'm trying something new for dinner tonight. I'm going to try this. And if your kid is like, I want to try that too, let them try it. They're learning too. But you don't have to say that it's part of your diet or you're restricting a lot. Because the kid's going to internalize that language, and that's going to affect them. Now, I believe that every person has their own personal journey with their health. However, I strongly encourage you to think about why you feel the need to potentially lose weight or to cut out foods from your diet. Because at the end of the day, we know that food is fuel. It provides us energy. It has nothing to do with our moral value. It has nothing to do with how we look. There's so many other factors to our weight than what we put in our body. So really take the time to think and decide why you're doing something and the consequences that your children seeing you do that could have on them. Lastly, encourage body diversity. Show children that all bodies are worthy and different. Avoid commenting on people's weight changes, and instead praise things unrelated to appearance, like kindness, strength, or creativity. So instead of constantly praising your child of, oh wow, like you're so fast, or like you're so strong, or oh you look so pretty today in that dress, try reaffirming your kids of who they are and saying, I love your kindness. Thank you for sharing your toy with so-and-so. Or I love watching you, you know, play soccer or whatever they're into, and say, what do you love about it? And ask them. Make it less about their body in that form and how it exists, and more about who they are and how they exist. Friends, I know that breaking these patterns, it takes time. But every small shift makes a difference. By changing the way we talk about food and our bodies, we can help children develop a healthier, more positive relationship with both. And that is something that is so powerful and something that we can all learn from. All right, friends, if you found today's episode helpful, share it with someone who might need to hear it. And as always, let's keep the conversation going. Message me, comment, leave a review, and let me know how language around food and bodies has affected you. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, be kind to yourself and watch how you talk about your bodies to others.